With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Whiskey like you do, but I still do, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who doesn't need to spend his money, but he still does, it's Pete Donaldson.
Good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovely to have you with us. It's football ramble time and I'm buzzing.
I am buzzing.
It's been a great weekend of football and that's all it takes to get you up for it.
I tell you something, there was an awful lot of red cards on the weekend.
Yeah. You are high on reds.
Goals and reds.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. The Sergio Ramos book.
If I had to condense my entire interest in football down to two things,
yes,
it would be up there, those two. You're
having a bit of that, Pete.
Me and the chairman of Cardiff. Loving a bit of red.
Yeah,
He was having a bit of it on Friday night. It was
no, I was angry.
We'll come on to that.
What a mess.
We will come on to that. Well, if we saw a lot of reds dished out, because if you could invent a new card that the referee could show, what would you come up with? I mean, this is, you know, to stop something in particular, to encourage something, to instruct the players to do something. The refs brought out the such and such card, and now this means that.
Mine would be for any sort of naughty behaviour, just sort of a general extra punishment that the referee has an option, be the cartwheel card. So for the next 10 minutes, unless you're on the ball, you have to travel by cartwheel. Be knackering. Be absolutely
minutes.
Knackering.
It's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah, but they're athletes, aren't they?
Yeah, but a lot of footballers can't do cartwheels. No, it's something when they celebrate. Like, there was a couple over the weekend in the FA Cup. It's like, you have never seen a cartwheel before in your life.
They'd have to train, wouldn't they? Well, Peter Beegree could get back into the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Remember him with his flips?
Yeah.
Obafemi Martins.
Yeah. Well, that was a proper acrobatic forward flip.
Yeah,
though,
so a cartwheel wouldn't be a problem.
Although
Martins is probably too old now. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, he's older than you
would have been then.
Yeah.
But the thing with that is, you know, they're only doing it once. They're not doing it to get around the pitch.
That's true.
I mean, if you pull that off, if you do like a 1-2 with someone, and in between the pass and the shot, it's a cartwheel. That's going to look amazing.
Ibrahimovic could still, you would score doing that.
Yeah. Actually, he'd be particularly good at that, I think.
Well, I love the idea of someone in on goal, and they're about to put it past the keeper, and the thing cartwheels across the goal line.
And handles it. Wouldn't it put the player at risk of like conceding a handball? Then he'd be sent off.
Yes, it would.
Nightmare.
Don't be a dickhead.
Don't be a dickhead.
No, I was sure. Would you be exempt from handballs if you were doing the cartwheels?
No, you can't.
If your hands are on the ground, if your palms are down on the pitch.
To be fair, if you're doing cartwheels, your hands are pretty much never in an unnatural position. So
supporting you, yeah.
Yeah, fair. Well, we've got the cartwheel card.
I like what you said earlier. Obafemi Martins is a bit old to do that now, if you know what I mean. What, he's old?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We start the show pre-show reading out Obafemi Martins' stats at Inter Milan and Newcastle. 88
not every
games,
week.
88 games, 29 goals for both teams.
You've changed it.
Yeah, it's 28.
It was 88 and 28 earlier.
That's what I said, 88 and 28.
You said 29 just then.
30.
It's going up.
Just like his age, yeah.
he's got two goals since he's been on there, and that's why he's so good.
He's not Romario. Crying out loud. Luke.
I thought of a gold card. Ooh. Not like a credit card, but like a gold card that a referee could dish out for someone doing something particularly good in terms of skill or ability, which resulted in a neutral outcome. Because otherwise they get accused of bias. So,
a good step over.
Yeah, a good step over, but it goes out for a throw-in.
Yeah.
You know, a nutmeg, but you don't get the ball back.
Anything gif-able.
Yeah, basically. Right. And you get a gold card for that. And if you get...
So what's the... Why would you want a gold card?
For the honour.
For the honour.
Yeah. But this is like, is it the green card in Serie B?
Sort of, but it's a little bit more skill-based.
Okay.
Yeah, green card is for sportsmanlike conduct, isn't it?
Right.
This is nothing to do with sportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah.
What do you get if you get loads of green cards?
A house in every state.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think it's to do with fair play or something like that.
They haven't thought that through.
No,
you probably get a fair play award in the season.
Yeah, because we were saying
not a bonus or anything,
I think we were saying at the time, weren't we, that you've got 10 green cards, that means you can like chin an opposition player. Do you know what I mean?
You get a free shot.
Free crime.
Let that block hit in the kangaroo. Just come at me. Didn't that, but do it.
Yeah, I think we covered that, but yeah, I don't know what the...
So a gold card is mine. I mean, basically, anything you can think of that is good but results in a neutral outcome. So not it can't be like a goal line clearance or a great goal or something.
So
like
it would
that.
Help with their stats. So at the end of the season, you say, oh, well, he had so many goals and he had so many assists and so many goals.
Well, if you want to make it out to be worth something, if the honour of it isn't enough for you guys, and I understand that, you know, some people are about glory.
Honour and glory.
Maybe if you get a gold card, it wipes the slate clean of it, of the last yellow card you got. So if you're on a yellow and you get a gold, you're back to the start again. So you can put another nice reducer in.
So that means players who pick up a lot of yellow cards, you know, Gareth Barry's and the Lee Catterall's and all, would be trying really fancy stuff and doing David Dunn's everywhere.
You're telling me you're not about that.
Well, I am now.
Yeah, you're
now
on
that
board.
Now that I've helped you.
You're on board.
All right, Peter.
I think there should be a card that comes out. It doesn't really matter what colour it is or what it looks like, but basically you have to play the rest of the game in Forrest Gump-style correctional braces. So you can't bend your knees. So you've got to run around like a weird kind of matchstick man.
It'd be a nightmare for a goalkeeper.
It really would. You wouldn't get any sort of leap at all. You just kind of sort of roll onto the ball.
That would be the...
Cartwheels would be a bonus.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe the two can be incorporated.
Mm.
I'd go...
Laces and braces.
Right.
Beautiful.
The laces and braces card.
Mm.
I would have a referee dish out a quiet card or a silent card. What I mean by that is if a player... Because players talk back to the referees and sometimes you think, oh, just shut up and get on with it. And the refs often don't book players or very rarely do they send players off for that. So I'm thinking you need a card in there that helps referees with that because a lot of players back chat and, as I say, not enough bookings. So you dish out a quiet card. The player has to play the rest of the match without saying anything. And if he says anything, you're off.
Right.
Okay. Which would be quite... Which I
I've
think
seen
would...
some back fours in the Premier League incorporated that from the first minute.
No, imagine that, if he scores and he's like... Yeah. And he has to just stay quiet. Well, nice.
Maybe the referee sticks a little, one of those really futuristic stick-on microphones on his shirt.
Yep.
And he gets into his earpiece, and if he hears any sort of word mm-hmm. after that, even like you say, even if celebrating a goal, yeah. he's off.
He's got a sound wave. He's got a device showing. You've got the sound wave at the bottom of the screen. You can say, he's saying something!
Hard one to justify that.
Other players trying to run past him and doing an impression of him to get him sent off.
Exactly, yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, the referee's an idiot!
And then you'd be like, oh, the sound wave certainly goes up. No, I was coughing. I was just coughing.
Mark of the corner, the player who's marking him, grabs his shirt just so I can do his mic.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so. I have to say, I think Luke's got the points.
Thank you. I'll tell you something now. I would have been fine with anyone getting the points apart from you, Spelzy, for this one.
That's what you always say.
No, I particularly believe it this week.
Really? You're not up for the quiet. Well, I'll give you a quiet card in a minute.
Unworkable. That suggestion. Unworkable.
What? And the cartwheel card is more.
Yeah, more workable, and that's that emphasises it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know. None of them are going to be in circulation or in referees' pockets any time soon.
But this is how the conversation starts. This is how it starts. We planted the seeds we want to plant.
I enjoyed that player getting the yellow for doing the goggles. Not seen that for a while.
Where was
in
that?
In the FA Cup. I can't remember what blooming team it was, but it might even have been a non-league team.
He did the
referees blind. Oh, I haven't seen that for a while.
Yeah. Get him in the book, I would say. Let's move on to the Premier League then. Manchester City 1, Chelsea 3. Guardiola's a mug, isn't he?
Rubbish.
Absolute
mug.
I don't
know what he's doing.
He comes over here, right, and
just stick to Spanish and German.
Stick to the foreign stuff, mate.
Like Wenger.
Tippy Tacker. Comes over here.
Tommy Tippy. Is Tommy Tippy German nonsense?
Spanish, yeah.
Spanish on it with sausages in it.
Yeah, exactly. I just...
What are you saying?
It's from the Jamie Oliver controversy from a little while ago.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Guardiola, my goodness, like...
Not having it his way, is he?
He really isn't. We've said a number of times, I'm sure others have as well.
It's the first game I've lost for ages in the league, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, but they haven't been on a great run. But to lose in the manner they did, it's almost like a mid-innings collapse, you know, to lose those two goals and then...
But the final goal was essentially pushing for an equaliser and getting caught on the break. But we see that happen a lot.
It was the two sucker punch. Willian.
Yeah.
They forgot all about Willian. Well,
Kolarov looked like he was... You know, running through water trying to keep up with either of those players.
Yeah. Kolarov and Otamendi, I think it was, didn't have the best of us.
It was Kolarov who couldn't keep up with Hazard, though, wasn't it?
Which is
understandable. Yeah.
People were slating him, and I thought, okay, he might have positionally been out of sync, but as you said, Luke, that was the third one, I think, wasn't it, Hazard's goal? Was that the third?
Yeah, it was
the third.
Well, you can't man out when you're chasing the game and that player's 10 times faster than you.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
De Bruyne really was unlucky to hit the bar, and you could say unlucky, you could also say you should absolutely have scored that, and that would have been City 2-0 up, and that's a completely different game at that point.
Yeah, he should have scored that, for sure, 100%. Mm. And that was a real pivotal moment in the game, absolutely.
Gary Cahill, it was a bit of a glow, wasn't it?
Yeah, unlucky.
It was unlucky, but just the body shape of the way it went in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Own Glol. But what a comeback from Chelsea.
Fantastic. I mean, and they look... I mean, you know, you've got to put it in perspective. Fine, they've been beaten at home, but they've been beaten at home in a scoreline that, you know, probably wouldn't have happened if they weren't chasing the game. And also against, arguably, the best team in the league. Certainly the best team in the league at the moment.
Mm. 8 wins on the bounce for Chelsea.
Yeah, they're looking
top by 3 points.
Great nick.
I liked it when there was a big fight at the end and Costa ran over. He wasn't even on the field. He went, oh, fighting!
Yeah. Yeah. I remember
that. I can do that.
Legged it down the touchline.
Yeah. It's so much rucking this weekend. Just everywhere. All over the world. Mm. People just kicking off this weekend.
I mean, what I would say is that everyone's gunning for that Christmas off, wasn't it, really? Clearly.
And Sergio Aguero, top of the list.
Listen, Lufthansa are doing a deal on flights to Buenos Aires. They are. £535 all in.
He's nice.
Very good.
The boy's seen that. To use the player's tense, he's seen that and he's acted.
he's put his marker down.
He's probably
down.
There now. He's probably there.
On David Luiz's leg.
The airport, yeah.
When's he back?
31st of December will be the next match he can play.
It would be one more ban would be ideal.
Imagine that you got a 4-match ban. Oh, no!
No.
Did you think
appeal it?
Yeah, well,
if you appeal it and it's not frivolous. Back, you get an extra game, don't you?
I'd like if he was really, really upset with the 4 matches. Like, I know, but he's done... Sure, it's not five. Yeah. You're sure?
I didn't touch him.
Yeah.
Call the FA. And I wish to appeal.
Call the FA pretending to be Pep Guardiola. I'd like to appeal this, please. It was erroneous.
It was so bad.
And then as soon as the phone's down, party!
Doing it from the bar. Yeah. Departures.
He's already missed three matches this season through suspension.
Ashton Bash, it's Sergio here. I'm in for New Year's Eve.
Fernandinho sent off too.
Yep. And that was a disgrace.
Fabregas embarrassed him there.
Fabregas was essentially positioned them both with, like, subconsciously right next to the sponsorship board, kept looking behind him. As soon as he got a little shove, took a massive tumble over it.
He was actually sneakier than that because he gave him a really sly slap first that the referee didn't see, which provoked all that.
To get it warmed up.
Let him strangle him, pretend fell over the advertising hoardings.
Yeah.
I missed the advertising hardest because I only saw the bit where he was, you know, he was getting grabbed and stuff, and I was thinking, oh, this is beautiful, this, because usually you'd get angry yourself and go, who are you pushing or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
I thought Fabregas played that very well,
actually. Yeah, I thought he did, yeah.
His little slap was naughty, but then Fernandinho grabbed him by the throat and then went back. And he went back for another grab.
He was pushing his own coaching staff.
He was very sick. Well, he probably saw what Aguero did, because I think Fernandinho's was after and thought, oh, hang on, the Christmas... Yeah, I'm up for that. I know what your game is, matey. I love Danza doing flights to Rio.
He's an underrated absolute dick, though, Fabregas.
He's very, very sly.
People don't talk about it in the same...
I reckon he's all right.
Oh, come on.
No, he's definitely got some slyness to his game.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, there we are. That challenge from Aguero on David Luiz.
He's got previous for that as well.
Yeah,
on David Luiz.
Yeah.
2013, they clashed, but... I just, it's like you've lost the game. I understand the frustration. Even David Luiz said, you know, you understand the frustration. But to put a challenge in like that, Aguero's their best forward. I mean, it doesn't matter any player doing that is ridiculous. But Aguero's their best forward. They're now without their best forward for four important games.
I don't know what's happened to him, Sergio Aguero. He seems to be, I don't remember, I mean, maybe he's always had that tempering, but I don't really remember in my own mind being like that type of... Mm.
Well, because he's so clinical in front of goal, you sort of assume that there's a precision to his temperament as well.
Do you think it's just frustration that in losing the game? Well, they're obviously very pumped up.
Well, it's frustration. I mean, there might be... I'd like to think that there's a bit more narrative, Brazil-Argentina.
Yeah.
That's probably nothing to do with it. But I loved what David Luiz said. I love David Luiz. He's such a likeable guy. Mm. And when he was asked about Aguero, he was very gracious in his reply, saying he doesn't like to publicise things and Aguero is an amazing player and whatnot. But he also said, it is normal in football. When you win, you be happy. When you lose, you be sad.
Simple. Lovely.
I appreciate it's not
I'm
his first
sure.
language.
Wayne Rooney said exactly lovely. The same thing.
In English. Put that on the Christmas card this year, guys. That's lovely. That's just wonderful.
To remind us, Chelsea's fixture list in December. West Brom next, Sunderland, Palace, Bournemouth, Boxing Day, of course, and Stoke City. I mean, we said before these two games, away to Manchester City and at home to Tottenham, that if they can get through those, then they should have some very winnable games and some points there. They've won both of those games. 4 points, they've got 6 points. They're looking dangerous, Peter. They're on for the league title.
With pretty much the same players who muffed it up last year.
I was marvelling about that with Diego Costa, thinking, how's Antonio Conte suddenly got the best of him? And I think,
why are we hanging out with Diego Costa?
Yeah, I think...
Imagine if all the players went together and went, no, actually, Bashaway coming off the bench every so often has really given us a boost. Yeah. It's made a difference of 40 points to us. What a player.
I think it's... You know when players used to talk about the fear of Sir Alex Ferguson when he would go mad at them? Mm. And even someone... Because I remember Ferguson saying that, you know, he'd be absolutely roasting Peter Schmeichel, and here's a guy who's... You know, 6 inches taller than him and far bigger. Like, if it came down to the physical, Ferguson's not winning that one for sure. And so Ferguson said, you've got to back yourself and be so confident. And that respect that they have of the manager, you know, he probably would be fearful of Sir Alex Ferguson, you know, the obvious example of that. Now, Mourinho, I reckon, has probably had that in his Chelsea days when he won the league. He had that, probably that fear, you wouldn't want to upset the manager. Mm. He clearly pushed that too far. Mm. And it gets to the point where it snaps and the players go, do you know what, you're a bit of a mug or whatever.
Yeah.
Conte's come in and has got that. And I think Costa probably was full of a bit of testosterone and all the rest of it. And Conte's come in and gone, oh, I've got a lot more in the tank, boy. You think you're hard?
You want to say testosterone? Yeah. I grew hair from nothing.
My anger grew hair.
But to be fair,
grew hair on my head.
Conte did grow hair back like that. That, if anything, only puts him back at even par.
Yeah.
Because isn't testosterone the driver of hair on
that? The thing that makes you bald is a sensitivity to testosterone, not copious amounts of it.
Okay.
So there we go.
That's throwing a cat among the pigeons then. Yeah. What does that mean for Conta? I know he got it.
Because half men have notoriously got long hair, don't they?
Hercules?
Yeah,
I've had long hair.
Steven Seagal?
Yeah.
Steven Seagal?
The lawman himself.
Jean-Claude Van Damme used to have a mullet.
Yeah. I mean, Hulk Hogan...
Schwarzenegger, when he was Mr. Universe, had long hair.
Hulk Hogan, even though he was bald on top, there was still a bit at the back.
It was a skullet. It was a skullet, wasn't it?
It was.
It's the defining skullet, really.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, probably the original skullet, also.
A baldy
him,
ear drip.
Him and Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. Often mentioned in the same breath, of course.
Yeah. Separated at birth.
Indeed.
They're probably about the same age as well.
Probably the same height.
Yeah,
yeah. Fleetwood's
massive.
Are
you suggesting they're the same guy?
Oh, I'm suggesting that some of the listeners should look into this for us.
Yeah, thanks.
Is Mick Fleetwood Hulk Hogan?
A lot of Hulk Hogan chat recently.
Yeah.
Well, led by Marcus.
No, hang on. I think that was led by Peter.
No, I think I enjoyed it.
Did I?
He's an absolute box office Hogan, isn't he? Although the thing is, he got in trouble a while back, and I noticed that Hulk Hogan chat around that reared its ugly head when I was away.
What do you mean?
Well, you started talking about him all the time when I was off.
Yeah.
Once.
Well, you would prefer us...
Am I really Hulk Hogan?
You'd prefer to talk about his film career. Mr. Nanny, we all remember that.
Suburban Commando.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My goodness, I think it's time for an ad break.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Chelsea did indeed get their win, and so did Crystal Palace.
The Premier League, Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Alan Pardew.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it?
Basically, Alan Pardew's on the football equivalent of what Hogan used to do, get beaten up over and over again, and then start doing the... ripping his shirt off and all that kind of stuff, and then getting the pin.
Pardew knows best.
Yeah.
I'm starting to wonder if there wasn't a bit more to this run of, like, six defeats in a row. I can imagine yesterday, just giving Gareth a quick call. You all right, Gareth? Getting your feet in under the desk, are you?
Yeah.
Didn't want it in the end. Didn't want it.
I gave you the nod. Put a word in.
I love it. Well, Pards did thank the chairman for...
Yeah, he said a few
patience.
Other things as well, didn't
he? Yeah. That's where his thanks stopped. when he started talking about the board.
He didn't thank himself, wow. Personal growth.
Yeah, his body language certainly thanked it. But he said the chairman got a bit edgy this week, as you'd expect, and in some probably previous weeks as well.
Yeah.
We have a lot of serious investors at the club. Probably best to keep them happy.
Yeah.
Because if they're serious investors, you know, that's what keeps the club afloat, really.
That's what literally pays you.
Right. Yeah. We have a lot of serious investors at the club who perhaps don't know a lot about football, so the chairman has been defending me.
It's a dig, isn't it?
Why say that?
No, it's crazy, isn't it? A lot of people in the press have said, I think he's been a bit naive there. So there's no way that's not calculated. That's such a dig. It's the arrogance of Pardew rearing its head again.
Well, then he went on to say, I always think as a manager at any level, particularly in the modern era, expect the sack. Just expect it. It's coming at some stage, so do your job as best you can. Every week, that's what I try and do.
But even the...
Expecting the sack. Is that what you've been doing in the last 6 weeks?
You expected a win in the cup final. Did a little dance.
You don't need to be amazingly knowledgeable about football to essentially look at Alan Pardew's managerial career and say, right, he's been managing 18 years. He's 55 now. He's never won anything. He's got beaten in two FA Cup finals. Essentially the best thing he's ever done is win the playoffs with West Ham in the Championship.
But the thing is,
and win the Football League trophy.
You can say that a lot about a lot of managers.
I mean,
if you're Crystal Palace, and this is Alan Pardew's words, not mine. There's a lot of serious investors at the club.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace are a London club. They probably want to start winning something at some point. In which case, Alan Pardew definitively is not your man.
Well, come on, they were unlucky in the cup final. I think you've been a bit harsh saying that. You know, look, he's won the playoffs and he's won the...
Donaldson's questioning.
Look at me, I'm, you know.
No, I think that, look, Pardew's had a respectable career as a manager. Look, we're not having a dig at that.
Has
you
he?
Know. Yeah, he has, come on. It's his attitude that I'm just...
Rubs people up the wrong way.
Well, it's his attitude, but it's also this genuine inability to arrest a slump. Once he's gone into a club, improved their results, things wear off, and then he just can't arrest it. It's been
3-0,
the same
mate.
Everywhere he's
3-0,
been.
3-0, mate.
Yeah, but after a run of six defeats in a row, and at a time where recently they were statistically the worst team in the country in the 2016.
He's good for a first season, as I said. As I wrote in the fine tome that is the Football Ramble book, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect in action. A man who doesn't realise his limitation goes into a club, and he's everyone's mate, and And once the, you know, as I wrote in the book, the fug of links and I'm your best friend kind of nonsense wears off, I'm one of you lads, it wears off, it just the what players just don't want to play for him anymore because he's a bit of a joke.
What links do you think he likes? I think Africa.
Oh, yeah.
They've had a rebrand recently.
No, there's no Java anymore.
What?
No. I think they've had a rebrand. There's new ones now.
Yeah, but
it's all about 48-hour freshness.
Africa's, well, you talk about the antiperspirant, they're not the deodorant.
48-hour freshness.
But they don't like to use the word deodorant because it's the word odorant.
Body spray. Can I just say, Africa is the worst one. I guarantee you, Pardew, like
I think
that,
right? I think you would row back a bit further to Atlantis.
That's old.
It's too old.
Is that gone?
You're 15 years out of date.
That's what I mean. I'm saying he'd row back.
I bet he's a Duke man.
He's getting Atlantis on import because he can't get it in the UK.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Sort of guy.
Yeah. Anyway, they need to beat Hull next time out because they've got Manchester United and then Chelsea after that.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas and he might be getting a tearful phone call on Christmas Day otherwise.
Indeed. Look, the thing is with Palace fans, you know, with Pardew, that's why say these things. They're just silly things. If you have had six defeats in a row and then you win a game, don't start talking like you're the wise old man in the Premier League or something. Mm. Or, you know that's what I'm questioning there. Mm. You know, look, managers have bad runs and so on and so forth. But to start saying, well, you know, you should expect the sack and da 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 da. Yeah, I get the point that in Luke's often likened it like political careers. You know, they always end in.
It wasn't me who said that originally, by the way.
But you said on the show, sorry.
Yeah.
They always end in, what was
failure.
It? Failure, yeah. Unless you're someone like Sir Alex Ferguson, you know. Yeah. But let's be honest, though, they were given a gift
but
for the
does,
first goal.
Yeah, they were, and it was Southampton were essentially in suicidal mode for some reason. But Pardew is, I mean, he does know a bit about the Premier League. You must imagine the Premier League, you know, a good 400 times. You know, he's got a lot of games under his belt.
Yeah.
But there's a reason, clearly, that he doesn't kick on to that higher level. And I think it's exactly what Pete was saying. And if you're a club who just wants to stay in the Premier League, you know, largely, not all the time, but largely, he's going to be fine with that.
Yeah.
But he's not going to win you anything. Mm. And that's as simple as that.
The players will have a lovely time.
No, but I mean,
the players seem to like him for some reason.
Being realistic, though, are there many Palace fans out there expecting them to win stuff? I mean, the FA Cup final is an achievement for them. No, but realistically, like that's kind of mad, isn't it? Like to say, well, you're not getting us in the Champions League, you've not won us the league, you've got to sling your hook. There's got to be growth.
No, because
they can't go from here to winning stuff.
But proper growth is league positions, you know, because you can win a trophy as a one-off, and that would be a wonderful achievement, don't get me wrong. But the league positions are, you know, that's where the real growth is, and there's so much competition in the Premier League, and to be a mid-table Premier League side is an achievement. It really is. You know, I know, obviously, Jose Mourinho won't argue that at the end of the season if it doesn't go very well. Oh, we're a mid-table side, what's wrong with that? But for a lot of clubs, it is all right. But they've got Benteke in their ranks, and with him scoring goals, we talked about that with Sunderland, you know, with Defoe in there. If you've got a proper goal scorer, obviously you've got a chance, and they do.
But look how hard West Ham are finding things this season. They just don't have the goals.
That's true, absolutely right.
Palace have paid a lot of money for players this year.
They have.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, fine, we're talking about them coming off the back of a good win, and it was a good win, a very comprehensive win, but really they've been poor this season.
Mm. Especially with the people that they've brought in and the players that they've got. Look how far Kabak's fallen off. I don't understand that at all.
Strange. Yeah. Did Fraser Forster refer to his left foot as his lefty at one point when explaining his mistake?
It was like a boom.
It was absolute comedy the way it sort of bubbled up nicely. It bubbled up off his standing foot the same way that Ronaldinho does that famous skill.
But on purpose.
He knows he's doing it, and that really is key.
Did it come off his right foot? I just thought it bubbled.
No, it rolled over his foot.
Oh, yeah. I see.
So he missed it with his lefty.
Ronaldinho does an amazing piece of skill.
Yeah, I know the one.
He flicks up his standing foot and back heels it away.
Yeah.
As I just said, like the key, it really is key. You need to know you're doing that.
Because I only saw it once, and I just thought it was one of those unlucky bubbles that if they happen, you hold your hands up.
He planted his... He tried to throw across the ball with the back pass, and he planted his standing foot right in the path of the ball, and it went over his foot, and he just fresh air.
It wasn't like Paul Robinson away to Croatia.
No. But that was Paul Robinson's fault as well, because he had dug the turf out himself.
Which
you're not technically allowed to do, I don't think, in the laws of the game.
Well, there we are.
It's like tamper with the ball, isn't it?
It's true. There was a little video that went viral from a lower league match in Serbia, where a player hit the ball over the bar from, a yard out. It was one of those ones. It's a cliche thing to say, but it looked far easier to score than put it over the bar. And I love the quote after he said, "It bobbled and I was excited, so I kicked it over. What a lesson for my life."
That's lovely, though. Do you not think that's lovely?
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
I'm sure his teammates aren't quite as relaxed.
What a lesson, eh?
Yeah.
You know, don't miss easy opportunities.
I'd like to go kick that fan in Brazil.
Probably won't do that again.
Yeah. Or Chile. Chile, I think it was. Yeah, what about the miracle of Bournemouth? 4-3 against Liverpool. My goodness, incredible comeback.
I was on the radio, like doing the goal report and stuff. It's like, what? Yeah. I played like one song and it completely had changed.
Which song was it?
Bohemian Rhapsody, probably. I don't know. It's Absolute Radio. Yeah. We play a lot of classic rock.
It's raining goals. When you just penned yourself.
Liverpool have kept just 4 clean sheets in 23 away Premier League games. In those 23 games.
What, this year?
No, because they haven't played 23 away games this year, obviously. In those 23 away Premier League games, they've conceded 38 goals.
They do not like their new keeper.
When I said year, I meant calendar year, not season.
Did you? Well, yes. You should have said so then.
Well, I said year.
Because everyone's listening is judging you now.
Are they?
You're scrubbing to keep your head above water.
I'm amazed it's taken them...
conversational time.
I'm amazed it's taken them this long to judge me.
It probably hasn't with any of us.
And I appreciate your patience, ladies and gentlemen.
We were saying a little while ago about how this is going to cost them, shipping goals like that. However good they are going forward, you're going to lose points that, you know, on paper you think that you're going to win, and it has reared its head.
Well, they tried to strengthen in defence with Clavan and Joel Matip coming in.
Clavan didn't play.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that.
I don't know why
they tried to address it.
But did you say that? I mean, the points are valid, but Clavan didn't play, and he wasn't injured. So I don't know why he didn't play. They didn't bring him in. So they obviously, for some reason, away at a team who's probably expected to finish in the bottom half this season, Klopp doesn't want to play Clavan. If I've completely missed that he's injured or something, then fair enough, but I don't think I have. Mm. And they also don't... I was reading... I did something on previewing this game in another job last week, saying that if Bournemouth try and go toe to toe with Liverpool, they get beaten. Mm. But they did, and they didn't.
The carriers helped them out, though.
He did, but I think his role in it was a little bit overplayed. I mean, he was poor for the final goal, the winner, of course. But
he's still
finding his feet. People, I'm not suggesting he's as good as De Gea, but people were saying this about De Gea at this point in his Premier League career, and he turned it around. So Klopp obviously and his scouts obviously see something in their carriers, but. The one thing they don't really have, or they didn't seem to have against Bournemouth, was a decent quality, solid holding midfield player. And I noticed that Steven Gerrard's been given a role back at the club. So he's probably raising his eyebrows. Get him back in there.
They've not, like, re-signed him.
Get him back in there.
Is it the academy?
Yeah.
You can imagine.
And that's where it starts.
You can imagine him with the youngsters going, OK, so this is how you play a Hollywood diagonal pass.
It easily gets cut out in 2016.
We're working on that for the next 6 weeks.
Wrecked balls.
Yeah. Every time you get it, shum. Look for the ball in over the top in between the fullback and the centre-back.
Yeah, before I came along, you were talking about, you know, looking for the nearest player closest to you and playing the simple
furthest
pass.
Furthest one away, or just do it all yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to practice half volleys for the rest of the week.
Who here can shoot from their own half?
And then we're going to finish with a DVD of my best goals.
For LA Galaxy.
And who can remember that night in Seattle?
having a go at Gerrard, that'll go down well this week, wouldn't it?
Indeed, a man who's had a quite glittering career.
And that would be some DVD, wouldn't
one
it?
It genuinely would be. Is that what it's like when we said with Belgium, Thierry Henry?
Yeah.
This week at Trader, we're just going to watch best of.
I mean, the DVDs would be great, and in many ways, that's what a football career should be about.
Matt Letizia knows.
Who's got the best DVD?
Matt Letizia, Luke.
Yeah, doesn't it? Oh, it's Blu-ray now. Doesn't even matter.
Ah. Letizia's got a good set.
Has this show just
ascended? Hasn't even acknowledged it. It's amazing.
I know. I'm about to address it. Has this show descended into you at the other end of the desk? She's going, Matt Letizia, and pointing at me over and over again.
Just for a little while.
Yeah, okay, fine.
People don't remember what team he played for and which team Luke supports because we never talk about them.
People don't know. He only played for one team.
Marcus, I agree with Pete. People just think of him as the pundit on Soccer
Saturday.
Yeah,
he's just a funny-faced man who just guns through Saturday afternoon.
He'll probably get offered the Match of the Day punter job, but he won't want to do it. Yeah. He won't want to leave.
His brother will leak it to the press.
Yeah, yeah, right. Have an opinion one week, and he'll never do it again.
His wife will stop him.
So you're saying people won't remember who he played for, and yet you make that joke about his brother leaking stuff to the press?
I'm just getting involved in your weird retro ramble.
Thank you. Pete's a professional. He knows about football.
Right. Yeah. Matt Letizia ain't one of Portsmouth's finest, okay? Yeah. Let's leave it there.
He wouldn't have got in our team, not in that era.
Wouldn't he? My goodness, yeah. Everton drew 1-1 with Manchester United. Fellaini would have got in that Portsmouth side, though.
He's an absolute oaf. He's an oaf. Yeah. He's like a man in the
break glass for off.
The morning.
It is.
No, do you know what he is? He's a man in the morning after the night before a house party, stumbling, still drunk, through the ground floor of the house, treading on every upturned plug. Yeah.
Treading on sleeping people as well.
Yeah, everyone. Just everyone. Yeah.
Does anything represent the current Man United era more than Marouane Fellaini giving away like a really late penalty on his 100th appearance at the club? Like,
it was against his old team that they signed him for whatever the odds for.
We had a great email from a listener, Ian Gate, who emailed in, or he tweeted us, I think, with this. It's the Manchester United official feed. It's four tweets in a row. First one is 85 minutes. Fellaini replaces Mkhitaryan in Man United's second change of the day. Next one. Congratulations to Fellaini on reaching 100 appearances. Next one. Penalty to Everton for Fellaini's challenge on Gay. Next one. Goal. 1-1.
Excellent.
Amazing.
And the great thing about it was, there's in the celebration of the 100 appearances for Fellaini, someone in the social media team has obviously spent a lot of time photoshopping up a nice photo for him, and everything. Oh yeah, he's going to probably come on today and make his 100th appearance. We'll get that in there. And that's the only thing you see on the Twitter feed. Yeah. Celebration of his 100th appearance.
Aww.
Never mind. I mean, what I would say is that game was very dull for the first 40 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And
Man United dominated.
Well, did they dominate? Could they not have come out of the blocks a little quicker?
Possibly.
I just think that's kind of Manchester United's strength, or it should be anyway, with the players that they've got up top.
The game ended well, though.
It ended up with a draw.
Mourinho was fuming afterwards. He said, I didn't see the entire game live, so, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Mourinho said, we are by far the best team.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Everton had more shots and more corners, and they had a share of the game, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I don't really know what he's. I mean, first of all, he wouldn't even comment on the penalty, which is
doesn't
mental.
Want to get fined.
I mean, you don't
have to get fined.
No, but he could say, you know, essentially what happened, which was it was a really clumsy and needless challenge by one of our midfield players.
No, but I think because he'd gone and sort of defended his decision to bring him on because they said there was going to be a lot of dead balls in the area and they've got aerial superiority, etc. But he's got a centre half on the bench, which doesn't make any sense.
There'd be a lot of dead balls around the area. Fellaini's like, what about dead balls in the area?
Tell me about those.
I've got a really bad idea. Jose's sort of undermining his own image at the moment with all this sulking, isn't it? And it's the frequency of it. And it started to look like the game has moved on from him. And he's struggling to keep up with it. And he's just absolutely lashing out at everyone.
That's exactly what it looks like. And it's almost like he's trying to use some sort of Jedi mind trick to influence what the media write.
Yeah, but the thing is, he used to be really good at playing the media. He was really savvy with that. And
he's not even good at that, because when he's winning, he's obviously very happy and he gives some of the quotes and the media lap it up. And even the media now are looking at him going, hang on,
because the problem is, I don't think it's even to do with that. I think I come at it from a slightly different angle and think it's to do with his confidence. I think he's second guessing himself. He didn't say things with enough conviction to carry that off in the press. And a classic example for me was the way he welcomed Schweinsteiger back into the fold. Regardless of who that player was, if he was the best player in the world, Mourinho 10 years ago, if he had made that decision, would not have gone back on it. He didn't go back on it with Casillas. Mm-hmm. He's got a track record in the past with Mata at Chelsea as well. Both really, really good players, really important players. He doesn't change his mind. Schweinsteiger, he changed his mind. And in my opinion, that's because he doesn't really have the confidence in his own selection.
Well, look at Pep and his goalkeeper. Straight out. Get out.
Yeah, see you later.
Get out.
Yeah.
I think that one of the weirdest things about it is now we're in December and I don't think he still knows what his best team is.
No.
And that is, for a manager of that sort of credibility and a manager of that sort of experience and trophies, that is bizarre to me.
Well, it's Louis van Gaal's team.
Yeah, right. It will be for about 3 years. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know what? It may be that Mourinho turns it around, but it's going so badly at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if the next man after Gareth Southgate to take over at England is in fact Jose Mourinho.
God, yeah, the FA will come.
I love that.
Typical FA thing to do would be to get Mourinho in for 8 years past his best skills.
On an eight-year contract.
Yeah.
True.
But I mean, you say Man United might turn it around. I mean, if you're talking about the Man United ambition, yeah, you know, since time immemorial, really, which is to win the Premier League, there's no chance of that this season now.
I mean, what I mean by that is they might yet have a respectable season.
Yeah, I mean, they need to for it to be respectable. In my opinion, they need to finish in the top four.
We're doomed.
And I don't. that is doable. I mean, they're already 9 points off it, and they need, and it's not even just the points. If you look at the idea of Man United winning the league, they're 13 points off the top, but it's not even just about that. It's about looking at the five teams above them and saying, are they all going to give up that many points? And it's Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, Manchester City and Spurs, who are probably the five best teams in the Premier League. So it's that's not going to happen now.
Yeah, and the only flicker of joy Man United are having, perhaps, is that Ibrahimovic is getting the, you know, scoring a few here and there.
That was a very cool goal.
It was a very, very good goal. But
he's not been substituted yet.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
One of the best things about Zlatan being in the Premier League and doing this at the moment, it's the fastest paced league in the world. He is fit as a butcher's dog.
Yeah.
He's not been subbed, which may suggest that he's got some sort of big ego in the dressing room, of course, and that Mourinho loves him too much and relies on him too much. But his performances have been good.
Mourinho always has a player or two players or a spine of a team, which are his warriors. At Chelsea, it was Terry, Lampard sort of, but Drogba was his, like, him on the pitch. And at the moment, you know, he doesn't really have that in this Manchester United side. You know, you look at Inter, you look at the likes of Lucio and Walter Samuel as well.
He's not been able to rely on Rooney for that.
No, he's not
which I think he would have liked to have
and
done.
And so he's well aware that if he puts too much emphasis on Ibrahimovic, who's one of his kind of as warriors, if you like, that's who he would try there. But he doesn't really have that at Manchester United, and I think he's missing that. And to have someone who's really one of his big cheerleaders on the pitch and in the dressing room alongside with him, he hasn't got that. And Ibrahimovic would be the closest thing.
Yeah.
So it's a funny one, but it was a good point for Everton in the end.
Yeah, I mean, United haven't won. They've won one in their last eight in the league.
Yeah, Koeman was
insane. I think one in their last eight, and they were beaten, and that was against Swansea. You know, and they were obviously beaten very heavily against Chelsea.
Koeman was tweeting that they're still unbeaten at Goodison Park.
That's good.
Under him.
Good.
He was also, obviously, we mentioned, he was caught up in controversy last week, old Ronald Koeman, when he tweeted a photo of his Christmas tree, which was coloured with red decorations. I mean, that's as controversial as one can make it.
It's left over from Southampton, surely.
Yeah. I'm not buying a load more baubles. They're expensive.
Look, he's a man of integrity and honour, and he blamed his wife for it. and he addressed Evertonians everywhere. I like this, calling them fanatic blue people.
Love Koeman.
He's great.
I mean, he is football royalty, Koeman.
He's a little bit Trump with his Twitters. I think he should stop tweeting.
He looks a bit like Trump.
He does.
Does he?
Well,
same
colour.
He's blonde.
Very
hair.
Harsh.
Same colour hair, and he's quite red.
Yeah, true. He's probably about, 35 years younger, so it's a bit hard.
One of them could smash a free kick in from all over the place, and the other one's Ronald Koeman.
One of them didn't have a problem with defensive walls.
Yeah, oh, damn, come on!
I thought that's what you were going for.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
Confusing.
Really.
Yeah, very confusing. Yeah. But there we are. Well done, Everton. In the North London region of football
but
club.
It's actually in East London.
Let me. Yeah, we're fine.
1-1.
Someone's built a wall around your knowledge, it seems.
It would appear. What I was saying in the North London region, the fans would have been very happy because their clubs won 5-0 and 5-1, Jim. Obviously, Arsenal played away at the London Stadium. Yeah. Well, yes. And I think that encompasses all of London.
No, I like that because, you know.
Still having teething problems, aren't they, Jim?
Well, they are. Our tax money paid for it, so it's only right that we should get to enjoy it as well. And West Ham are very accommodating in that.
Yeah. Alexis Sanchez, absolutely different class. And to complete your hat trick in the way he did with that little dinker over the keeper.
Have you seen the footage of the ball boy?
No,
yeah, he loves it.
His jaw drops. He's just sat there. He looks like the Scream, weirdly, as we mentioned last week.
Inspiring the next generation. That's good. He was fantastic, and he's unplayable. West Ham, I mean, don't want to take anything away from Arsenal. West Ham were awful.
They were complicit.
I mean, the same way Swansea were awful. That's the thing, isn't it? You approach these two games, Arsenal put five past West Ham, the Spurs put five past Swansea. Both teams, in my view, were so bad, the opposite teams.
Give Andy Carroll a little bit of credit.
That was a lovely snaffle. Snaffled a lovely one.
Yeah.
The great thing about Andy Carroll is he goes months and months without going anywhere near a football, but he can still snaffle a goal out.
But when he does,
he's still nut one.
Yeah, he can.
Well, imagine a fully fit Andy Carroll. I reckon he'd be up there.
Can't
ridiculous, isn't it?
What would
it's a double negative, isn't it?
Imagine a fast John Terry.
Yeah, meet us halfway here. What would it be like as a concert? Can you draw us a picture?
Let me describe a centaur, gentlemen. Half man, half horse.
Yeah.
Either way, it's getting punched.
So, Sanchez is in incredible form. He's got 13 goals for us this season. I think this is his best spell at the club. And him playing as a centre forward,
it's
it really
a joy.
Didn't look like it was going to work at
it's
first.
It's a joy to watch him play.
Why does Alan Shearer hate him?
I don't know. There's what, weird
because he's a converted striker.
Alan Shearer refused to let him. He's got his track record. Well, if you let me,
okay.
What? Say the words.
Yeah. Answer my question.
Give us a syllable at the time.
Would you hurry
at
up?
A time?
He doesn't. For some reason, he's got this trope where he thinks that he said he's not world class and he won't go back on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he so said he's world class if he wins the league, which is nonsense. Yeah, absolute nonsense.
Yeah, because didn't he say that about Balotelli? Oh yeah, I'll consider him a good striker if he scores like 15 hat tricks.
It was funny though because Chris Sutton was sat next to him. Oh, come on, Alan, he's world class. He's really angry Chris Sutton way.
The
thing is, Chris Sutton still said it in a miserable way.
Yeah, if Chris Sutton...
Oh, come on, we've just got to admit he's world class and we're not anymore, Alan.
Yeah. When praising Matt Phillips' goal for West Brom, which was fantastic at the weekend, he rather than praise Matt Phillips, he said, I don't know why Gordon Strachan isn't picking him for Scotland. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so good.
Wow, taking the opportunity of a good goal to dig at someone else.
Sutton and Shearer are a good strike force.
Mm. Not are controversial,
they,
is it?
Are they a good pundit for
no. us? No! The thing about Shearer and Alexis Sanchez is if Chris Sutton is being more positive than you, you're on the wrong side of history, yeah. My friend.
We're in December,
he's
Alan.
The canary in the mine, isn't he?
Yeah,
really?
He is.
You can imagine Alan Shearer during December with his advent calendar, another chocolate. That's the way it works, mate.
Don't worry
typical.
About it.
No surprises here, Lake.
Yeah.
Slaven Bilic made a pretty amazing confession in his post-match interview, didn't he? Where he was saying that even in training, the West Ham players are losing concentration. It's like, what? You really need to sort that out. Yeah. Surely that is within your control.
That's one of the areas you're responsible for.
If anything.
Yeah.
I read that the West Ham website that usually run the post-match interview with him did not choose to this week.
Favourites, according to some people, favourite for the job, if he loses his job, is Big Sam Allardyce.
Yeah. Well, you know.
No, I thought he was going
with
to take
Andy
over
Carroll
at
back fit. Come on, long ball slugging. Oh, lovely.
I think he might be favourite for Palace and West Ham. Can't do both.
He's moved down to London. We reckon.
He can't do both.
He's outside every ground. He's there.
He's circling.
He can't do both. But can he play him off against each other to get a better financial package? Yes, he can.
Wait, he's definitely circling.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the Championship after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget that Football Ramble preview show. It's out this Friday. Our bet of the week came in
Yes, it did. Our bet of the week with Bet365 was a lot of goals in Liverpool-Bournemouth, wasn't it?
It happened.
We got them.
Yeah. Everyone got them.
Right at the death. Right at the death, we got them.
Yeah. From goals to red cards, let's go to the Championship. Sheffield Wednesday 2, Preston 1. Preston players Doyle and Beckford sent off for fighting each other.
Yeah, the replay this I saw, I didn't see the beginning of the fight. It just looked a bit of handbags for me. It wasn't. It was nowhere near as good as Dyer and Boya.
No, there was no pulled, just like torn shirts and bloody noses. Fantastic. No.
Again, maybe it is that Christmas thing, but it happened everywhere. I don't know if you saw the Rome derby, but there was a big ruck in that, and one of the subs got sent off.
Nice. The two best I've seen are Dyer and Boya, and the one with Tevez and another player who's a lot bigger than him.
Batting Lasso was good as well.
Yeah, but that was a really poor punch from Lasso. It wasn't really, it's full on. Yeah. The Tevez one, he's absolutely drilling a guy who's about 2 foot taller than him for ages. That's the gold standard for me. So I didn't see the start of that one.
Did you get a gold card for that?
Yeah, no.
Dyer Boya had, I forget who was the manager. Oh, it was Souness, wasn't it? Because he made them apologise in front of everyone. Right.
Have you boys got something to say?
Yeah, excellent.
Don't mould us in your own image.
Yeah. You literally taught us this.
Yeah. Listen, I went my own, but the other day you punched both of us.
And then said, if we don't punch each other, you'll punch us again. Forestieri was sent off for Wednesday as well. Three reds.
What a mess.
I know. I say three, right? It was two in the biggest game in the Premier League, for crying out loud. There was also a couple between Nottingham Forest and Newcastle.
What a game.
Another loss for the Toon.
It's a hell of a Friday night show, wasn't it?
My goodness. So it was Friday Fright Night.
The referee was getting absolute pelters for this, including by his namesake Steve Martin, the actor. He was called Steve Martin, right, apparently. Yeah. Everyone was tweeting the actor Steve Martin. Mm-hmm.
Some would have been joking around, but others probably were confused.
I've only seen it once. The second red of Dummett, that was an obvious goal scoring opportunity, wasn't it? Was that not fair enough?
It was a soft touch, but I concur
that
I think
the first one was Shelby off the ball, so I haven't seen that.
No, that wasn't a sending off. But I just think in the spirit of the way that he disallowed a couple of chances from Newcastle and stuff like that, I think I don't think he really ingratiated himself.
Both Forest goals were absolute screamers, weren't they?
Bender in particular. What?
Bender is a bad footballer, isn't he?
I
think Mitrovic might go down that alley.
How bad must Newcastle be? Listen, if you're going to get two men sent off, don't be surprised if there's a goal-mouth scramble and it pops to an opposition player. Because they've mathematically got more chance of getting on it.
It's been a stinking week for Newcastle.
They had two men sent off by half-time. Yeah. When does that happen?
But Shelby didn't seem that aggrieved, so I think he might have done something more.
He was looking for Ferguson on the touchline. That's your fault, that.
he's got other bother, isn't he, Shelby, coming up?
He has 19, I think his hearing is.
Is that right?
Yeah. I had a phone call from Pete last night, and we talked a bit about Newcastle. Tearful he was. Tearful.
Was he? It hasn't been a great week, but
talk of Rafa out.
It was not. There was none of that. Oh, How dare you besmirch my good Rafa loving name?
If Ashley sacked Rafa, would that be it? You'd stop supporting him.
I'd be very close. I would be surprisingly close. Be doing this two seasons down the line. People tweeting in, going, "Oh, he sacked Rafa because he messed it up."
I'd love it if Newcastle sitting atop of the league by a point, won 8 games in a row before this, two defeats on the bounce. Zach, it's just not good enough. After a terrible week in the history of this illustrious football club,
you've got to expect it, as Alan says.
Yeah,
but the celebrated coach, is it in Cathro? He's gone off the border to manage a team up there, maybe Hearts, can't remember.
Oh yeah,
so
maybe.
So they're hemorrhaging coaches left, right, and centre.
The best thing to do is just do half the research. So just
he's left a man. Got the name. That's the main thing.
Ian
Cathro.
Is that definitely his name? Because you said, is it Ian?
Yes, it is.
He's called Ian. He's gone to Scotland. That's what I need.
Ian's gone to Scotland. Ian's gone to Scotland.
There's your headline. Do the rest of the show. I do not care about the rest of it. Once they leave this organisation, they no longer exist.
Ian Cathro.
There you go.
And Northern Ireland's Austin McPhee are going to go to manage Hearts.
There you go.
I've got pretty much there.
How's that slipped under the spillers?
I was second guessing my own knowledge, like Jose.
I was waiting for him to get it right. Okay. And I knew he'd get there in the end.
In many ways, you are the Jose of the podcast.
Donaldson, where's your knowledge?
Yes, there we are. It'll be good to have them on board at the Magnificent Gorgie Boys. And, Newcastle, they lost. But fortunately for them, Brighton didn't win.
Yeah.
So they are still top.
They drew 0-0, stalemate.
One of the form teams, of course, in the Championship were Yaps Chaps at Reading. They, having won 5 in a row, were beaten 5-0 by Fulham.
That was an absolutely bizarre result.
Have that, you mugs.
Fulham aren't that good.
Yeah, they're not. Mm. But they're 3 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, but Fulham themselves were beaten the last time before that against Brighton, weren't they?
Mm.
So it's all swings and roundabouts in the Championship, as usual. If there's one league that I am aware of that could do that type of stuff, yep, it's the Championship.
Oh, right, exactly, yeah. Although the Premier League has got a touch of that this season, which
it
is
has.
Quite nice.
Due to awful defending.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, it had a touch of it last season as well, really. Mm.
But yeah,
again,
enough.
Due to awful defending.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Leicester won it at Canter, mate.
Yeah, true.
A fella emailed in by the name of Jimmy Stone, and he's attached, like, basically, his website called Getting to Know the Network basically concerns itself with Charlton and its fall from grace, let's say. Mm. And fascinating kind of leaked emails between Du Châtelet and Chris Powell a couple of years ago.
That's right.
Fascinating stuff that they've managed to grab hold of them. Basically, Du Châtelet saying, why didn't you play this goalkeeper in this match? And then just giving the reasons why he should be playing this goalkeeper.
Because I was already playing another keeper.
Yeah, I can't have two.
We can only have one.
We've got a man cartwheel in the back. That's enough defence.
He's been selected there. The entire conversation was, why aren't you playing that goalkeeper? Because I'm playing another one. Fine, that's okay. I completely support you. I was just asking.
Seems a reasonable guy, actually.
Yeah.
When you see it written down.
I don't know what all the aggro's for.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Come on.
But I recommend having it checking out because it's interesting. Little yarn.
It certainly is. Speaking of which, let's go to the FA Cup and Bristol Rovers. They were beaten by Barrow 2-1 at home.
The reason I love this is because first Barrow goal. Mm. Long punt, flick on, slip past the keeper.
Yeah.
Welcome to non-league, Bristol Rovers. Again, by the way, because you were in there a while back. Welcome to the non-league.
Yeah.
That's how we do things here.
That's right.
Muck around.
Byron Harrison's brace, he sent them through to the third round.
There was a brilliant shout, because obviously there's a lot of FA Cup games, so I didn't watch them all live, clearly. I watched this one with the highlights, and it was the highlights video that had no commentary.
Mm.
So you just heard the crowd noise and stuff. Yeah. And when Barrow scored the winner, there was a great shout from a Barrow fan. Loads of people just sort of going, and he just went, goal? It's crystal clear.
You always get that, don't you?
He didn't know. He was like, goal?
In the smaller grounds, you always get that.
Yeah.
And the one I always go back to...
It's like Bristol Rovers. It's not that small.
Oh, true enough. Yeah. Sorry. But the one I always go back to is that one on one of Danny Baker's videos when the guy's lining up a free kick. He's taking a while. Get on with it, you tosser! as clear as crystal. And they boot the ball up the pitch and score from it, actually. Get on with it, you tosser. Lovely old job.
The great thing about Tosser is it's essentially it ticks all the boxes for Swiller, but it's not really that.
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's a proper British one.
Yeah,
that one is. AFC Wimbledon are through.
They are.
Just what a comeback that was.
Were they 3-0 down with 10 minutes left?
Yes.
It
was sad though, wasn't it?
It was for Cooters and Ashton. It was a great shame for them.
For the last goal, the player like jumped on his own player to get higher, which I thought was really nice.
Their goalkeeper had a bit of a mare. The last few. He was very flappy, wasn't he? Which was a shame.
Yeah, but if you're a non-league goalkeeper and that's and you know it's happening.
National League North.
Yeah.
So obviously one below the National League.
But what I'm saying is, you know, there's these...
But you should be a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, but there's inexplicable things about football at all levels. When if you're winning like 3 or 4-0 or whatever, and the other team score a goal, and they score another goal, everyone knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't do anything about it.
Well, stay on your line,
Norris Karius.
Yeah, especially not Karius. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, eh? It was a shame, because Adam Morgan, who was... I think he played for Liverpool once upon a time, he got a hat-trick. And so you're 3-0 up, and he's thinking, I've got a hat-trick, I'm going to take my... You beat a proper league side like AFC Wimbledon, and maybe get into the third round, and it's snatched away, and that's football.
He looked more like a footballer than anyone else on his team.
Oh,
he was big and he had presence.
Oh,
he looked decent.
Speaking of goalkeeper staying on their line, I just remembered what Latan's goal looked like. It was odd.
It was
the bouncy off the bar onto the post, rolled in, and then somebody tried to clear it off. Go on, I tell you, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Goal technology.
It was nearly one in the Bournemouth game, wasn't there?
Yeah. It was as well. Yeah, very close. Very close.
There was, did you see the Sutton United, Ross Warner, the goalkeeper? He looked like he was going to be brought off. and the substitute goalkeeper was the goalkeeping coach, who looked about 50 and 50 stone as well. He was very, very heavy.
He was at 4p.
No, he didn't come on, but he was sat on the floor, and people thought, oh God, he's injured. We're going to have to bring
who's this
Sutton.
For?
Sutton.
Oh, so, well, like the keeper had like sudden blindness. He'd done his ankle in, he couldn't move. Yeah. And then the manager's going, oh, we need to set. Keep him on.
He has to play. I don't care if he's got a concussion. Yeah. Keep him on.
I'd rather bring a surgeon on to operate on
him. Just a shot of like the goalkeeper guy sat on the bench going,
picking his nose. Yeah.
Like a man watching telly. Yeah.
When was the last time he played the game? Yeah. Before we go to the highlights of the week, La Liga. It was the classic. And Sergio Ramos, another header in another last minute in another big game. Yeah, you're right, Jim. There's no other way of saying it. He is an absolute bugger for it, isn't he?
Real Madrid waits for those moments.
Yeah, he obviously always pops up.
He's so deadly in the
unbeaten in 33 games now.
Under Zidane,
that's almost an entire season.
It's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, incredible
what he's done there. And he's equaled Jose Mourinho's record of 17 games unbeaten away from home as manager in La Liga, which is another thought. Yeah. Not one in the eye.
No, you can imagine Mourinho just sort of lifting his head out from under the covers, seeing that, going back to bed again.
Oh, at least I got my record.
Oh, yeah. Oh, at least I got all those medals. Oh, I chucked them in the crowd, didn't I?
Maybe he's trying to track those down now.
Yeah, he probably is, yeah.
Imagine that.
Madrid 6 points clear.
They look fantastic, Madrid, though, don't they? They really look like the champions already of that league.
This whole Zidane thing, I just didn't think it was going to go this well.
No. But it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, coaches have won the Champions League and been sacked at Madrid, so...
Yeah, but part of me thinks a club the size of that, you, because everyone is geared towards excellence, all the players, everything. I mean, I know in the past we've seen Barcelona and Real Madrid have a bit of a different atmosphere to that, but these days they're so geared towards excellence and just squeezing every sort of single percentage point they can out of their performance. You wonder whether, with Zidane, he's working really well because he's essentially just a custodian. So he's not bringing in amazing new revolutionary tactical ideas.
No.
He's essentially just steering the ship through very, very calm waters.
Which is
showing them as DVD.
That's a skill in itself.
Right.
But that's essentially, to me, as a sort of layman when it comes to Spanish football, that essentially looks like that's what he's doing. But they look amazing. I think that's so much better.
And I think that's a fair point. And right, you say, that is a skill in itself. It would be... I say this now, and he'll probably prove us all wrong, or me wrong, but it would be unlikely if Zidane would then go on to have a series of teams that he would then manage.
It works that club because of his...
Right,
yeah,
but that's fine. You know, if the cap fits, you know, and you're right, he is steering that ship, and sometimes a ship needs to be... Well, a ship always needs to be steered, but, you know, you take the point. And it's working marvelously well. If it went...
It's movie night. Who likes Mogwai?
I know.
The only disappointment I've got about it so far is that he's not dished out nearly enough headbutts. I thought he'd be angrier.
You might be behind the scenes.
True.
It's going too well at the moment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, maybe we'll get close to headbutt soon.
Oh, let's hope so.
Yeah, if they had lost in the Clasico, maybe he would have dished out a few. Stuck the nut on someone.
No, I think it's early days.
Yeah.
I think him and Simeone.
Yeah, I'd love to see him stick the nut on Fabregas in the Champions League game.
I'd just like to see more of him at training.
Yeah.
Like really close, small games where he just absolutely destroy everyone.
Yeah, I bet he's still very good.
Indeed. Shall we have some highlights of the week, Luke?
Yes, we shall. First one up, this is from Steve Barron. I've included this one because he mentioned something we talked about last week, which is, as you mentioned in the previous show last week, in an Australian Cup final, a seagull was injured in the game, resulting in a stop of play. You guys remember that we talked about on Friday. What wasn't mentioned was the Twitter exchange between the seagull and the player who rescued it afterwards. The FFA Cup seagull tweeted to Sydney FC goalkeeper Danny Vukovic, who rescued him, sitting here wondering if Vuka will ever call me. And then Danny Vukovic replying, saying, I do think you owe me a beer, actually.
Well, fair enough.
I like to think that Vukovic thinks he's actually a seagull tweeting him with his talons, but probably not.
And would be able to buy a pint.
Yeah. It's like Trump's pick for deputy NSA head. It's kind of like, what did she thought that... Mayor Giuliani was like.
Oh, it was like a fake account. Wasn't
it was like a fake account. It was like Paul X 123456789. Like, that's not the Twitter account of Mayor Giuliani. You idiot!
And he's not Mayor Giuliani anymore. And he hasn't been.
All right, ex Mayor Giuliani.
Thank you very much. That's all I'm asking.
She seemed to think he was still the mayor.
Yeah, that's the least of her problems.
Catalogue of
Michael Price. Hello to you, Michael. He says, "My heart of the week was discovering that there's a football club in Botswana called Miscellaneous."
Nice.
They drew 0-0 with the Township Rollers this weekend.
Yeah. A ragtag bunch.
There's some great names down there. I think one of the live shows we reeled a few of them off.
Imagine if you were a fan of Township Rollers. Who are we playing this week? Miscellaneous. That could be anyone.
Yeah. Who are we playing? Miscellaneous. I said. Yeah, and so on. And
my favourite one, I think we've spoken about this before, but it's a team from the Bahamas called Insurance Management Bears.
Wow.
Insurance management's too boring.
Yeah.
Well, we'll put bears on the end.
But that's the thing. You get the name that it's, oh, it's clearly some company and whatnot, but the bears on the end.
Yeah. We will insure all of your picnic baskets.
And the final one of the show is from Ewan Hall. Hello to you, Ewan. He says, my highlight is Hollywood A-list actor Steve Martin suffering loads of abuse and consequently responding to the abuse from disgruntled Geordies following Friday night's match against Nottingham Forest, which was refereed by a Hollywood actor, same namesake. We already talked about that. I want to dish out a mug, and I'd like to dish it out to Michael Price.
There you go.
Because Miscellaneous is great.
If the price is right. Like,
yeah,
lovely.
And he sure is. Yeah. So get in touch at show@thefootballramble.com, please, Michael. Do some of the legwork for us, and we'll send you a mug.
Well, I had one highlight of the week, but another one has recently come in. So the first one was Strootman scoring for Roma in the Roma derby, because he had a terrible time with injuries, very good player.
He was linked with all sorts of really, really big clubs at one point. No disrespect to Roma, who obviously are a big club, but you know what I mean.
Sure. And then this one, Sepp Blatter has lost his court of arbitration for sport appeal against a six-year ban by FIFA. Blatter said in a statement the judgment was difficult to accept, but the way the case progressed, no other verdict could be expected. Even he realises now, finally Sepp is getting it.
Is he funding all of this action himself? Because I know that. He's just you've feathered your nest, enjoy your nest.
Yeah. Indeed.
Don't worry about it.
No other verdict could be expected. No. Oh, all that stuff I'm doing, yeah, I see what you mean.
I love the idea
when you bring it to light, it does look like I'm really, really questionable.
I love the idea of him in the courtroom going, that is a lot of evidence, isn't it?
They brought it in three bags.
Yeah. How long, my lord, how long are we going to be hearing evidence for the prosecution for? A couple of weeks, is it? Right, okay.
I concede.
Wheeling in filing cabinet. Yeah.
Can I change my plea?
Wheeling in a filing cabinet, he knows only too well. Oh, Filey! Yeah. Filey, you're back!
Thought we blew you up!
You said you'd keep my secrets!
Objection! Yes, Mr. Blatter, I thought I burnt all that.
Oh dear. What a win for football.
Indeed.
Only took us 15 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm reticent to call this a highlight, but definitely check out the BBC. I think it's available on the iPlayer for another few days. Storyville Forever Pure. It's a film that came out. I think it got launched on the Toronto Film Festival last year, but it got its debut on the BBC last night, I think it was. And Sadaev, like a Muslim Chechen striker, I think he is, he scored for Beitar Jerusalem. And they've got a policy of, or they've certainly historically had a policy of never having Arabs in their team. They still haven't, but they've got a Chechen Muslim in their team.
Right.
Oh, they don't like it.
Yeah.
Oh, the fans don't like it. They're like the Millwall of Jerusalem. So, it's a harrowing, horrible story, but do check it out.
Stop going on about Benjamin Netanyahu.
You're never going to meet him. You're never going to meet him.
I'm pleased you did that description without dishing out spoilers.
Right, yeah.
I haven't seen it and I want to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. My highlight of the week.
He scores the fourth goal in a Champions League final and takes his shirt off when the game had already won, but acts like he was the winner.
Oh, don't say that.
A la Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, right.
Jim.
I was just going to say my highlight of the week has nothing to do with football, but was also on iPlayer, and it's Danny Dyer's Who Do You Think You Are? Which has to be the greatest hour of television ever seen.
I've seen I've seen some of the highlights, and they were very, very strong.
He used to be a staple of the show, didn't he, Danny? Yeah.
Apparently he's related to like Edward the VII or something. Edward III, sorry.
No spoilers.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh, you melt. Yeah. What a little melt. There we are.
Little royal melt.
That's it. Don't forget, buy the book.
Buy the book. Yeah. We worked hard on that. Christmas, perfect stocking filler. Mm-hmm. In fact, not even filler, because you can put it in the stocking and it will widen the stocking, which means there are more presents can get in.
Yeah, if you've got an elastic stocking, it'll work a treat.
Exactly. I like the way Pete said we worked hard on that.
It's a breach.
Only a man who truly has never worked hard on anything else in his life can say it with that much passion. Yeah.
Starbucks staff now love me.
Do they?
No, hate me.
Yeah, exactly.
No way. They curse the ground I walk on, that's right.
Keep getting my name wrong.
Lovely. That's it, chaps, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
We'll be back, of course, with the preview show at the end of the working week. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, everyone. And
goodbye from me.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.